Recording. Okay. How many daily Bible readers? Not this week. What happened? All right. Let's keep working on that. We're in the New Testament now, and why they swept over from three chapters a day to four chapters a day, I'll never know. And some of these, like these in the Gospels, a lot of long chapters in the Gospels. Now, you know, I would have thought that through the minor prophets, there's a lot of short chapters there and a lot of the Psalms. When I read on my own through the book of Psalms, a lot of times I'll read 20 chapters at a time. And so because they're so short, you know, it doesn't take but a couple minutes or a couple seconds to read one, even if you stop and think about it. But anyway, you know, it is what it is. I'm reading my Bible and I'm learning. It never ceases to amaze me how, no matter how many times I go through the Bible, it just seems to be more understandable. You know, I can remember when I was young and I'd read a chapter at night before I go to bed and I'd lay the back up on my dresser and I'm thinking, what did I read? Because it just, you know, it's kind of one eye and out the other, whatever. But it didn't make a lot of sense. But I got a little bit as I went, and I kept going back and trying to grow and to learn from the things that I studied. Nowadays, I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. It's been many, but I'm still learning. I've never reached the point where I know it all. I'd like to think that I would, but I'm challenged by that thought every time that I get into the Bible and see things that I'm thinking, well, now what does that mean? But that's the way that works. Okay, so we are in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. We are looking at this section, and probably it might be good to just read the whole again. So if somebody will read the whole chapter, I think we'll see that the whole is a context, and it's talking about this woman. And so if you would, somebody go ahead and pick it up in verse 1, and let's read the whole thing. Chapter 17.
There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk while the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Okay, so we're basically looking at this as a whole. And the whole thing is a context. And of course, the text of Revelation is to be taken in what way? There's a sign, and we've got to never forget that. And so when we try to put specific context to this and specific dates and times, we're going to be in trouble, okay? Because it's not going to agree, and going about the book of Revelation in that way has caused so many millions and or hundreds and thousands of interpretations of the Bible of the book of Revelation. We've got to look at it within the context of what we've been studying. When we've looked at this, and we've noticed that a lot of what we're seeing is the fact that there are false teachings. There are people that believe things that are not right. So what do we have to believe to be right with God? Got to believe the Bible. Okay? So if we vary from the Bible, are we doing what God says? No, we're short of perfection. Okay? And so, you know, you go to a passage like John chapter 6, and John chapter 4, and it just kind of points out the fact that there is a system that we are to follow, and that it is required that we follow the system that is there. So somebody read John 4 and verse 24.
God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
What is the requirement about worship here?
Worship in spirit and truth.
Worship in spirit and truth. Is that all that it says?
Must.
There's no option, is there? It's got to be what God says, okay? And so, what is truth? What I think it is? So, what is truth? It's what the Bible says. So, if I change something from what the Bible says, it's not truth, right? And so, we have to look at what the Bible says for it to be truth. Do we have a choice?
No.
Now, what if I change something and do it different? Have I obeyed that command?
No.
And so, can we say, well, okay, anything but worship is subject to change. Is that right? Is that going to work? No. It doesn't matter what it is. And so as we look at this, we're looking at a great deception. And as we see this woman, this whore, we looked last week at the fact that under the Old Testament law, when the people of God started doing things different from what God says, he called them what? In Ezekiel chapter, I think, 36. Ahola and Aholibah. They were adulterers. Okay? And so here the woman is taught, the woman is a fornicator, and she looked real good on the outside in verse 4. Remember that? Beautiful and rich and decked out and super, but what was in the golden cup? What was in the golden cup in chapter 17 and verse 4?
Precious stones and pearls.
No, in the golden cup. She was decked with the precious stones and pearls, but what was in the golden cup? Abominations and filthiness and fornication. Okay? And so we've got to understand as we look at this that I think verse 5 will kind of help us to see this a little bit better. I'm back in Revelation, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I know I can kind of move along pretty quick.
Well, also in 6 it says that she was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, which mm-hmm. made me think that that's what was also in her cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this, you know, in this, when you're looking at the blood of martyrs and the blood of saints, this is figurative, but also within this context, there were Christians that were being killed. Stephen was stoned, remember? James was killed, the apostle of the Lord. And so different people were suffering martyrdom, a lot of them. But then also, were they victorious as faithful Christians being dying in that direction? Sure. Okay. So is there something even more important and more devastating than the physical blood? How about the spiritual blood? Okay. The blood of saints. In other words, leading them off in a direction where they don't go to heaven. Okay, our desire and prayer is that people will be saved. All right, but this whore convinces them that they can do things different from what God says. Okay, as we look at the context, as we've seen this in other places, and it continues here. So now in verse 5, it says upon her forehead. Now, what did we, as we looked at the forehead before? What did we recognize about the forehead? Where the heart is, okay? Our thoughts, that's where our actions and words come from, okay? The center, this is the heart, that the spiritual heart, okay? And so this woman's had upon her forehead, this was her motive. It began, it was written on her forehead, mystery. Now, God tells us everything we need to know. The mystery is revealed a little later on, okay? And even though the kingdom of God was a mystery for many centuries, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, that mystery is revealed in Christ Jesus, okay? In other words, there's salvation. We look at the beast that had received a deadly wound. That's Satan when Jesus died on the cross. Okay. So, at any rate, mystery. And so, in verse 7, he says what the mystery is, and then he explains it here. But let's talk about Babylon for just a minute. What's the origin of that term? Okay, all right, it's Old Testament originated. And so, tell me about it a little bit more.
They were captive in Babylon.
Okay, they were captivated in Babylon, Jerusalem was. What else? Remember early in the book of Genesis? What did the people do after the flood?
They built a tower.
They built a tower. And it became known as what?
Tower of Babel.
Tower of Babel. And it's about in the location of Babylon. Location I don't think matters, but what does Babel mean?
Many voices.
What's that?
Many voices.
Okay. All right. Many voices. I've never heard it that way, but that's basically it. It's confusion. You know, their language is confused. They couldn't understand each other. Okay, so as we look at this mystery, Babylon the great confusion in essence. Okay, and so as we look at this, we need to understand that this mystery is talking about a confusion. And as we look at the context here, it's great because of the power that it has to deceive. Just think about the hundreds of ways that people go. And they all claim that they are doing what God says. You know? The Muslim believes that they're doing what God says. Okay? Well, talk about confusion. You know, that's confusion. You know? The God of heaven doesn't say to kill the person that disagrees with you. And so here we got one God that's saying kill the person that disagrees with you religiously, and another God that says love the person that disagrees with you religiously. So are they the same God? It's confusion. Okay? So there's a difference there. All right? What about the God that says we're going to worship on another day of the week than what was found in the New Testament? Is that confusion? Can that be talked about and promoted as such that is good and proper? And do people follow that? Okay? And whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. But it's, and this is the thing, this is confusion. And that's what was going on. And this is why in the Old Testament, go to Amos. Go to Amos chapter 8. Hosea, Joel, Amos. That's the Old Testament. Page 722 in the Old Testament. In the Pew Bible. 722 in the Pew Bible. And I think this is something, this is why we've got to be so careful about making sure we study and look at what it says. Page 722. 22 in the Old Testament. 722. Okay. So somebody read verse 11.
Amos what?
Amos 8 and 11.
Behold the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, of hearing the words of the Lord.
Okay, so what kind of a famine is this?
Spiritual.
It's a spiritual famine, okay? People don't know. When people don't know, do they do what God says? Mm-hmm. How can you do what God says when you don't know what God says? Okay, and so there was a famine in the land. Guys, I think we need to be very careful to study. Because we can be very self-confident that we are doing what God says when in fact we are not. We've got to know it to do it. And as I talk with many people in our society, you know, nowadays serving God is using his name in vain. You know, being a servant to him is using his name in an unwholesome and an ungodly way. And that's purported as a whole in our society. Being a citizen of the United States of America causes many to be able to think that they call it a Christian nation, that they are faithful to God. But that's not what the New Testament teaches. That's because there's a famine in the land. It boggles my mind because I spend time with people that call themselves preachers and they can't even find anything in the Bible. They don't even know where 2 Peter is or 1 Peter. And I'm not stretching the truth. You know, when a preacher will supposedly doing, you know, this teaching God's word, grabs the Bible out of your hand and throws it under the table and says, I don't need that to show you anything. There's a famine in the land. When a preacher tells me that, yes, I know that's what the Bible teaches, but I'm told to teach something different. They also told me that they preach for the one that they do because it's better benefits and better pay. There's a famine in the land. Must. And I'm not trying to put down anybody. I'm trying to elevate everybody. You know, because if you see somebody's going to walk over a cliff, would you be loving if you didn't try to tell them? If you just sit back and watch? There they go. Is that loving? But in society in which we live, if we ever insinuate that somebody's doing something wrong, we're hate mongers. So where's the, that sounds to me like a great deception, isn't it? Babylon the Great. The deception of we can't ever disagree. Because if we disagree, if you disagree with me, you hate me. We need to go back to learning and understanding the words of God and doing our best to study them and look at them and to follow them. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Okay. Abomination is that which God does not approve. I mean, as we look at some of these things, it's pretty clear. If you follow that word throughout the Old Testament. And so, as we mentioned as Becky mentioned in verse 6, we're back in Revelation chapter 17. I know I flip around a lot. I try to keep you up to date. It's not always easy. Okay, so the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints. And this, I believe that we can't dismiss the martyrs in the first, second, and the third century. But they were victors. I really don't think that this is necessarily talking about physical blood. I think it's talking about those that are deceived within the context to believe that which is wrong. Because then their spiritual blood is drained and they have nothing left. On the day of judgment, they didn't obey God. And if we don't obey God, one day of judgment, what happens? We don't go to heaven. We don't really like to say it the other way, right? Because that's hard to say. I don't want to think about what hell and the realities of hell and the torments of hell. I don't want to talk about and think about the eternal nature of hell, how it never ends. I don't want to think that somebody that I know or love would ever go there. But that's what this woman is doing. This deception of being convinced that we can do different than what God says and be acceptable. 666, really?
With all these people out there that are in another church that are being falsely, they think they're doing the right thing.
Well, many people think they're doing the right thing that are not. And that's why we've just got to come back and study. Okay, just study and look at what it says. Just study. It's not hard to see. It's not hard to see. We just need to look and do our best to figure it out. Okay. Now, let me see what I'm missing in my notes here. Okay, so verse 7 is really beginning of the explanation, okay? And the angel said to me, why'd you marvel? What's going on? Don't you see? He said, I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. And so this is the revealing of the woman in the mystery. And that will be basically the rest of this chapter. And so the revealing will continue. So in verse 8, it says, the beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, what does that sound like? Was, is not, and shall ascend.
Mm-hmm. He's waiting, and he will come back. Mm-hmm. God will release him.
Mm-hmm. Notice he was in the bottomless pit. As we go back into I think it's chapter 20, we'll see that Satan came out of the bottomless pit and then was covered over. I can't remember the chapter. Chapter 20 and verse 3. And so Satan is the one that we're talking about. Satan received a deadly blow to his head. When Jesus died on the cross, that means that we can come to God on his terms. And we got it. There ain't nothing Satan can do. What can overpower you as a Christian? Spiritually. What? Nothing. Romans chapter 8, 34 through 38, I believe, is the text. But it says, there is no powers, there's nothing that can overcome you. Once Jesus died on the cross, Satan received a deadly blow. He was, he is not, and he shall ascend. Okay, and so let's go to Matthew 12 real quick. Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 30. So somebody read that.
City or house divided against itself will not stand.
Did you notice that? What's going to happen to a kingdom that's divided against itself? See, they accused Jesus of casting out devils by the prince of devils. How stupid. That is ridiculous. Okay, why would anybody do that? But that's what they accused him of. Okay, keep going. Besides that, what if the church is divided against itself? It can't stand. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, I beseech you by mercy of God that you all speak the same thing and be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. You know, can we just make a decision and decide that's what we're going to bind on and that's okay? What do we have to come together on? The Bible, what it says. All right, keep going.
Beelzebub. By whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely this kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder the house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad.
Okay, so basically Jesus is saying here that he's bound the strong man, okay? He was casting out Satan. It wasn't Satan casting out Satan, okay? Jesus bound him when he died on the cross. And so we're going to end there. We're out of time. I know. It's the way it seems to go, doesn't it?
Yeah.